Good morning. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the CIR Full Year 2018 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rodolfo De Benedetti, Chairman of CIR. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this conference call. I suggest to maybe start from the merger announcement of yesterday, and then I can comment our 18 results. So the board of directors of both CIR and COFIDE yesterday approved a merger of CIR into COFIDE. The rationale of the transaction is to simplify the corporate structure, to reduce the cost of running two listed holding companies, and to have a larger free float and therefore more liquid traded shares. The resulting company from the merger will assume the CIR name and will by and large have the same balance sheet and P&L of the existing CIR. The exchange ratio based on which the merger will happen is 2.01 COFIDE shares for every CIR shares. So COFIDE will go through a capital increase to offer those new shares to the CIR shareholders. The exchange ratio has been validated by the related parties committees of both CIR and COFIDE, which both in both cases have a casting vote, i.e. they have to submit to the board a binding recommendation. And this result was obtained by the two companies being assisted by respective financial advisors. That exchange ratio has been also validated by fairness opinions of reputable independent advisors that the two companies have engaged. The extraordinary shareholders meeting that will approve the merger will be held before the end of June of this year, and we anticipate that the merger will be effective in Q4 of 19. Following the merger, the board of COFIDE will be nominated using the voto di lista, as it is written in our bylaws and in the laws. So shareholders will contribute to the presentation of those lists. As you know, COFIDE's current bylaws include a double voting right mechanism, i.e. If a shareholder demands to be included in a registry that the company holds and can prove continuous holding of the shares for a period of 24 months, after those 24 months, he matures double voting rights. COFIDE will submit to its next shareholders meeting, which will be held on April 29th, a resolution that will extend the maximum holding period from 24 to 48 months. And there will be a window of 30 days following the merger during which, by which the CIR shareholders that wishes to apply for this registration in the registry will benefit from the 24 month, and then it will be 48 month for everybody else after that 30-day window. And in relationship to such a change, Cofide will recognize a withdrawal right to its current shareholder. This withdrawal right has to be limited to a maximum of 5 million euros, and the company has the ability to renounce that condition and to waive the resolution that would change the vesting period from 24 to 48 months. So those are basically the terms of the merger, and what I suggest is maybe to open up the discussion on this subject, which is probably the most relevant that we have announced yesterday, and then we can continue with highlights on the 2018 results. So I open up to your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We ask you to please pick up the receiver when asking questions. The first question comes from Mr. Martino De Ambrogi of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everybody. No big questions on the swap ratio. Just wondering what are the savings on the holding cost that you mentioned in the press release, and what are the holding costs, annual holding costs for the new combined entity going forward?
Okay, so I'll answer your question before leaving it to other questions. The existing holding company costs at Cofide are about 1.5 million euros, and we anticipate that the majority of those will be reduced through the merger. So those costs will disappear in the merged entities, and we anticipate that the running cost of SHEER as it is today will substantially be the same and won't change after the merger.
Yeah, and just the total holding costs of the combined entity is just 1.5 million annualized.
No, the 1.5 is the 1.5 is the Cofide.
Ah, okay. So, and the combined entity, the new entity, CIR plus Cofide.
The combined entity, which is basically going to be CIR, is going to be about 13 million euros. 1.3.
Okay, perfect. Just a curiosity, I don't know, probably we need to wait for the full disclosure. I suppose the swap ratio is just the average between the net asset value with Cofide at on a see-through basis and the six-month average for market prices.
Well, as you know, there are many criteria that are considered in such mergers, and obviously the NAV ratio is an important one, but there are also market considerations. So the advisors on both sides of the companies have chosen a series of criteria, and they have applied those, and we have reached a compromise which is pretty much in the middle of those. We have considered the fact that the shares will pay a dividend, and so that given the fact that the merger will happen after the payment of dividend, we have considered the value of the shares, both in terms of NAV and in terms of market prices, ex-dividend. And we have also considered the weighted volume of the traded shares over a number of periods ranging from 1 month to 12 months.
Okay, thank you. And we discussed it several times in the past, so the treasury shares destiny. But I understand also that for the current year, you are stopping your buyback. But what's your attitude going forward on the treasury shares issue?
Well, what we announced yesterday is that the CHIR treasury shares will be canceled when the merger will occur. And so the only treasury shares that will be left will be the existing COFIDE treasury shares, which are about 3%, 3.5% of the actual COFIDE share capital, which will be less, obviously, after the merger. We have not, taken any decisions regarding future buybacks, and I don't want to anticipate those. We will discuss this in the board, in the new board, after the merger.
Yeah, okay. And very last on the announced deal. It's a long time you stay with a relevant amount of cash in your balance sheet. Should we expect that now, under the new combined entity structure, obviously once the deal is finalized, we will see the utilization of this cash, or is just by chance casualty that it was not invested in new initiatives?
I mean, if it was not invested, it was not before of the corporate structure. As we told you many times, we have looked hard at deploying the capital on the portfolio of businesses, with a particular attention on the healthcare assets, where we see the most potential in terms of value creation and in terms of consolidation of that sector. If that has not happened, it is not for lack of trying, or it is not for lack of willingness. It is just that we could not find the right opportunity. So I believe that going forward, the way the capital will be used at the combined company level will be pretty much the same, and with the same criteria as what we have done at CHIR over the last few years. And so I would not anticipate any, radical change in the way we look at the balance sheet of the company.
Okay, thank you. I suppose for the operating activities, we have a second Q&A session.
Yes.
Okay.
Are there other questions on this first item?
Not at this time, sir, but as a reminder, please register for a question by pressing star and one. Okay, there are no questions at this time, sir.
Okay, then I will continue to go through the presentation on page six and following with...
Excuse me, Mr. Di Benedetti, there actually is a question from Mr. Daniel Ridolfi from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning to everybody. Thanks for taking the question. I have one question on taxes. And I was wondering if the merger CIR-COFIDE could bring some tax benefit from the group, and if it is possible to understand what could be the impact that you expect in terms of potential tax asset at this stage.
There are no foreseen tax benefits from this merger.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so I will continue to go through the presentation on page six and following, commenting on the 18 results. As you have seen, our net profit was 12.9 million compared to a net loss of 5.9 the previous year. The contribution from the operating businesses before the JD extraordinary charges that I'll comment later has been 35 million compared to 41.5 on the previous year, and the decrease was due to the Sogefi lower result. The consolidated net financial position was 297 million, higher than the 272 at the end of 17, and this is the sum of 325 cash surplus at the holding company and net debt at the consolidated subsidiary of 622, which is slightly increased from the previous year. On page 7, you have the consolidated revenues. I don't think it makes really a lot of sense to comment those consolidated numbers. I'll maybe go through the single businesses. On page 8, you have the contribution from the various businesses, where you see that the cost results increased from 17.3 to 20.9. This is our pro rata share of the cost earnings. So JFE, as I mentioned, decreased from 15 million to 8. And JD had a negative contribution of 14.7, which included some extraordinary items that I'll comment later. At the holding company level, the result was barely negative. This was lower than the previous year that included some extraordinary gains on sale of financial and non-core financial assets and non-core investment in the holding company. On page 9, you have the consolidated balance sheet. There are very little variation, so I will not comment this further unless you have questions. On page 10, you have a breakdown of the consolidated net financial position, business by business, and then the holding company number. I've already commented on the totals, so again, if there are no questions, I think the numbers are pretty self-explanatory. On page 11, you have the evolution of the net financial position during the course of 18. So as you can see, negative, we paid about 25 million in dividends. We receive about 17 million. Those are the costs, dividends. We invested about 13 million in share buybacks. Net divestiture from financial investments was a positive 7 million, and holding costs, cash impact minus 5, and so this leads to the 325 at the end of the year. At page 12, you have the breakdown of the net financial position. There hasn't been really any major change, slight decrease in cash, slight increase in the fixed income component of our portfolio. The hedge fund portfolio is pretty much in line with the previous year. We had a difficult fourth quarter and a very good beginning of the year, so we have made up in January and February the December negative results on the hedge fund portfolio. And on page 13, you have a snapshot of with a comment on the highlights of the businesses for the year. Cost continued to experience robust growth, 11%. This is made up of about 3% of organic growth and about 8% of inorganic growth through a series of acquisitions of assets and greenfield developments. EBITDA and EBIT increase proportionally more than revenues. There is clearly a mass effect here in terms of the impact on profitability through those new assets that were included in the consolidation. The objectives remain that of consolidating the Italian nursing home and rehab markets, where we have a leadership position, we are focused for the time being on growing our business on the domestic market. So JFE had a reasonable growth, 3.2% at constant exchange rate, which was penalized by exchange rates. Most of the currencies that are outside of the euro were weak against the euro last year. So at current exchange rate, our sales were down 1.5%. We were negatively impacted on the profitability level, particularly in the suspension business unit, which is one of the three units the company operates in. We experience sharply higher steel prices that we were not able to immediately pass on to our clients in the course of the year. And this is the main impact in terms of the lower profitability. So as you can see, 190 million of EBITDA against 207 the previous year, and this reflects itself into a lower net result of 14 million compared to 26.6 the previous year. Modest free cash flow generation. We had significant investments during the year, particularly in our Morocco plant. This has weighted on cash flow generation. The company continues to be focused on its three businesses and on increasing efficiencies on the existing perimeter. We continue to have good growth outside of Europe, particularly in Asia and in North America, where those businesses are also significantly more profitable than Europe. Europe is lagging in terms of profitability, and this is mainly because of our industrial footprint, which is still predominantly based in Western Europe. This is changing progressively every year, but clearly it takes time to move the footprint. JD continued to operate in a difficult market in terms of both circulation of print products as well as advertising. We made good progress on our radio and digital business in terms of advertising. They grew more than the respective markets during the year. And top line grew because of the integration of Itedi, which clearly is an inorganic transaction that has had its full effect in 18 for the first year. EBITDA came in at 33 million, and this 33 million includes 18.7 million of restructuring expenses and other non-ordinary items. As you know, the company went through a restructuring discussion with the unions that was agreed at the beginning of this year, and we took a provision related to this restructuring, which will lead to a reduction of the workforce in Republica. So this has weighted on the EBITDA, and the net result was a negative 32, which was affected by a total of 45 million of extraordinary items, so including the 18 million restructuring expenses, but also the write-down of the value of Persidera, which, as you know, is an asset that the company intends to sell, and for which there is a process which is in place, and the board considered it prudent to reduce the carrying amount of that asset. So we'll continue to work on the integration of the Italy businesses, where we have realized actually more than the synergies that we announced at the time of the merger, but we believe that there is still work to do and we could extract more synergies out of that integration. We'll continue to develop our digital platform. We are happy with the results that we see in terms of growing the digital revenues, even though they're still a limited part of our total business, but growing. And in general, the company will continue to face headwind in terms of revenues because of the structural change that the business is going through, and this will be matched by a continuous effort on the cost side. I will briefly comment on the performance of costs. I already commented on Sogefi and JD, but you have the key numbers on page 15 and 16, and on page 14 you have costs where revenues, as I said, increased by about 11%. As you can see, EBITDA crossed the 100 million market, close to 102 million, with a net result of 35 million. The net financial position was the result of a strong free cash flow for the existing operations, which was more than compensated by investment in growth. This is what enabled us to grow the business at 11%, and a number of assets were bought or investments in greenfields were done during the year. And I guess that's it for the three operating businesses. I'm obviously open to questions on just the last slide you have on page 17 on the non-core investment. There hasn't been any major change. There's been a continuous pruning and reduction of the private equity portfolio, which is a fairly mature portfolio, and therefore we see cash-ins every year. We have about 16 million invested in other direct investments, that has slightly increased, and we still have about 11 million of value of a non-performing loan portfolio that is a leftover from a past investment. I would now stop my presentation and open up to your questions on the 18 results.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. We have a question from Mr. Martino De Ambrogi of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, a few questions on costs. You provided the organic growth at top line plus 3%. If I ask you what was the organic growth at EBITDA level, are you willing to share it with us?
I don't have the exact number, but I would tell you that the vast majority of the increase is organic in EBITDA terms, because you know, given the fact that the acquisitions or the greenfields were done during the year, their contribution in 18 was fairly minor and marginal. And so if you net it from the you know, cost of acquisitions and higher debt levels, I would say that that's marginal. So most of the increase in EBITDA is organic.
Okay, and going forward, we can assume the 3%, maybe 2% is a normalized organic growth going forward?
Yeah, this is pretty much what we have experienced over the last few years, so I would not see any major change on that. I think it's a reasonable assumption.
Okay, in terms on EBITDA margin, you had a spike this year. If I'm not wrong, is 18.7% without including any additional acquisition, which will come for sure. What is a reasonable EBITDA margin target in the medium term?
But you know, I don't see. I mean, this is a business that, as you know, is pretty stable in its revenues and cost components. We operate very close to full capacity in terms of volumes, and so this is why you have this, you know, 2% increase organic, which is basically the expected growth of the tariff plus some minor occupancy optimization and increase. And on the cost side, you know, the cost basis is fairly stable because it's mainly, you know, salaries, and we don't anticipate to increase the headcount organically for the existing asset that we run. So honestly, from year to year, we don't really see a major change. What changes is, our ability to grow the business by finding the right assets at the right price and by integrating them into our infrastructure and doing that to realize those economies of scale or those increases in profitability from undermanaged assets that we are able to buy. Obviously, that's difficult to forecast because it depends on market conditions and on the opportunities that the market present ourselves with. But we continue to stay focused on that exercise. We have a reasonable pipeline of growth opportunities. We know by experience that not all of them will come to fruition, but we hope that a significant numbers will. And this has led us, in the last few years, if you look at the last 5 years, to reach, a lower double-digit type of growth. So, statistically, I think this is reasonable. As an assumption, obviously, it will depend on finding those opportunities, and it's difficult to forecast this in advance. But given the, the fragmentation of the market, we believe that we can continue on that path.
Okay, and on the risks, the risk side seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, the government is not planning or thinking about any cut in tariffs and so on. So it shouldn't be a problem going forward.
Well, for the time being, we haven't heard any intentions. What we think is that, there is a structural trend, which is a long-term one, which is basically that, there is a shift in the money that is spent in acute care compared to what is spent in long-term care. Acute care costs much less per bed or per day, and much more, sorry. And so, when you look at the national healthcare system and its cost, and clearly, there are pressures to reduce it for obvious reasons, we believe that, we are experiencing a long-term trend which is positive for long-term care, which basically sees, a shift in resources from the acute care to the long-term care segments. And, we believe that the regulators, which are, as you know, the regions, know that very well and have, the interest to optimize the euro amounts that are invested and spent in healthcare, having the best possible, efficiency out of that investment. And so we think that we are well positioned to capture that trend.
Okay, and last question on Sogefi. I don't know, but it seems that Sogefi maybe needs some M&A action or to become larger. I don't know in which way, but in a car components sector where players are becoming larger and larger, sooner or later this issue will be should be taken into account. Don't you believe it? It is a reasonable evolution?
No, I don't believe it. If you look at our peers, the companies that have the best profitability are the pure players. They're not the large diversified players. And so, our conviction is that by being focused on, a limited number of businesses and by having leadership position within those businesses and having critical mass within those businesses, this is how you have the best margins. The fact that some of our competitors operate in maybe 10 or more business sectors we don't believe that that will, you know, has created or creates any kind of competitive advantage. And if you look at the performance of the last few years of the large players, it is not the largest one that have the better profitability. And so, you know, our strategy has really been and will continue to be to work on the three businesses. It doesn't mean that, you know, there will not be opportunity to work on the mix of those three businesses and to make them stronger. But it is not a question of the overall size of the business as a whole, but really of the relative competitive positioning of each one of the three divisions. And, you know, there is a continuous process to try to optimize the portfolio. And, you know, there is consolidation going on in this business, and there might be opportunities, but we don't believe that the question for Sergeyev is a question of overall size of its you know, business.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. Once again, please press star and one for any questions. We are about to close the Q&A session, so if you have a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. We have a follow-up, sir, from Mr. Martino De Ambrogi of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sorry to bother you, but there is room. And on costs, three more questions. Current cost of debt, normalized tax rate, and debt threshold for just to understand what is the firepower that cost has on a standalone without standalone basis without including any additional cash injection from shareholders.
I turn it to Michele Cavigioli, who is our group CFO. He's going to be more able than me to answer those questions.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. As for the cost of debt, we're now in between a 2% cost for long-term debt with banks and a 3% with longer dated bonds. Tax rate, I mean, it's difficult to define a normalized tax rate because, as you know, things change quite fast. So we have currently around 30%, and you can assume that it's going to be more or less what is going to happen in the long term. Sorry, about your last question once again.
Well, the debt maximum level for in order to understand what is the firepower for further acquisitions.
So we have set internally with our partner shareholders the F2I fund a debt leverage target leverage ratio of slightly above 3%, which is, however, three times EBITDA, which is, of course, quite conservative compared to the averages you see in the sector. So we think we, if needed, we would probably have more flexibility than that should we have a large acquisition that we want to carry on. So we could temporarily quite easily exceed that, and the covenants in our current financing contract allow for such an increase in EBITDA should it be required.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mr. De Benedetti, sir, there are no questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much, everybody, for attending. Have a good day.